97 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Last week, LSU announced major administration changes going on at LSU Health, which affects Shreveport as well. State Senator Thomas Presley, not happy with those changes. He joins us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for jumping on with us. Tell us, first of all, what these changes are and what they mean for Shreveport.
Yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about this. Basically, what's happened is LSU as a system has brought in a new president and a new chancellor for the LSU Baton Rouge campus. And oftentimes when new leadership comes, there's a change in policy and certainly a review of the policy and procedures that are in place. And I'm all for that. The challenge here is that they split the position. So the president, all the universities and medical centers, health science centers used to report to the president. Now they have a president that LSU Eunice, LSU Alexandria, LSU Shreveport, and the flagship, LSU Baton Rouge, will be reporting to that individual, President Roos. The Ag Center, as well as the two medical schools in Pennington, have lost their chancellor position. They now have a senior vice chancellor, and those leaders will report to the Baton Rouge campus. And I think that you're going to lose autonomy for our health science center as well as the ag centers. And I think that's a no-win situation for our region.
Why was the decision made? What was their purpose?
So the purpose generally is to put all of the research institutions under one umbrella. The claim is that the associations that review the level of research that we have in the state should all say that you have to be under the same leadership umbrella. I understand the intent and the goal of capitalizing on the work that's being done throughout the state. But I can promise you that the work being done in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans is different than the work being done in Shreveport. And we are, as we all know, often forgot about when it comes to state issues and state politics. And that's certainly something that concerns me moving forward.
That's my big question. How much does Dr. Roos know about medical research and medical schools? Baton Rouge doesn't have a medical school.
So that's right. And Dr. Roos is the new president. So LSU Health Science Center will be reporting to the new chancellor at LSU. Now, he has a healthcare background and is a pharmacist. So Chancellor Dalton, I think, has some background in healthcare. I think the concern that I have is, look, when you put everybody under the same umbrella, the Baton Rouge campus is going to be the one that is the winner in that. And I want to make sure that LSU Health Science Shreveport gets its due. We get credit for the work that we are doing up here and the incredible work that Dr. Johnston and his team are putting forth over at the Health Science Center. And I want to make sure that we are at the forefront of any new grants that come in. And we continue to be a leader in science and research in this part of the state and in the state as a whole.
State Senator Thomas Presley. Thomas, as I'm sure you're aware, in recent years, there was concern about us even losing LSU Health in our region. Do you think this might be like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, taking the first step at this now might happen?
My antenna always goes up when things like this are occurring. I don't think that's the initial intent of this. I think the goal is to expand the ability for LSU as a system to be able to get more grants. At least that's what's being told to me, but I certainly always am on guard for our Health Science Center. The Health Science Center brings in with its alumni about $2.99 billion annually to our local economy. That's approximately 10% of our local economy. It would be devastating to the Shreveport-Bossier economy if anything happens to our med school and the Health Science Center as a whole.
Are you concerned that this will cause us to lose our current chancellor? Because essentially that person's being demoted, right?
So we currently have an interim chancellor. Mm-hmm. Actually, his title changed on Thursday during the LSU Board of Supervisors meeting to senior vice chancellor. What my concern is not only for this person, but for the next person that's going to come in at some point, right? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we are getting the best and brightest to lead our health science center. And I think that's been the goal of our local leadership, both on the legislative level as well as the community level. And part of the reason that we actually have a law in place that was put in place in 2005 that says a chancellor will lead our region's health science center. That's true for New Orleans and for Shreveport. And I do have concerns that the change at the LSU board level is contrary to the legislative intent and the legislative law.
It sounds like all grants and research, et cetera, will now go through LSU Baton Rouge, which means they'll get credit for all of it.
Well, and I think that's one of the questions and one of the concerns that I have. And part of the issue here is the way that the decision was made. It went on the board's agenda 24 hours prior to the board meeting last Thursday, which that's allowed under state law. Certainly understand that. But my issue is when I called the Health Science Foundation leadership and board members, they had no idea what was going on. When I called members of our local community leadership, they had no idea what was going on. When I called my fellow legislators, they had no idea what was going on. And I think most concerningly, when I called members of the faculty of the Health Science Center, they had no idea of this change and the implications that it could have for our region. My hope and the assurances I was given by Chancellor Dalton as well as President Roos was that this will not have any ability to or any attempt. This is not an attempt to take away the autonomy of the Health Science Center in Shreveport. I just have concerns on that, knowing the history, knowing the continued stepsister approach that LSU Shreveport, LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport has had over the years. I'm definitely concerned about that aspect of things.
Thomas, is this in any way reversible? I mean, can it be stopped? Would it take legislative action?
Well, I think that's a good question, Mike. There is legislative action, and I think that's one of the questions that I have is this allowed generally? And I think that is something that needs to be run down to see if that's actually the case. And certainly, I want to make sure that the long-term strategic goals of LSU as a system include and ensure that LSU Health Science Center at Shreveport is a top priority for the system.
Senator Thomas Presley, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Uh-huh. We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
One of the things I was thinking about when we were talking with Senator Presley,
mm-hmm.
Anybody north of Ellic in Louisiana have always been the redheaded stepchild.
No offense to stepchildren here, okay?
I say that I was a redheaded stepchild, right. By the way, growing up,
right.
Literally. And Aaron, that's even saying it to people to legislators in Baton Rouge, they don't care. Mm-mm. It's not ever going to change.
We have had a long history, and this is something that goes back to Senator Tarver would tell you. Many others would say they get more money from the state per bed in New Orleans than we do here,
mm-hmm.
By a large margin. And nobody could really explain it logically to us. It's just, oh, that's what y'all get. That's what, right. Why aren't the hospital beds equal? Well, New Orleans is different. I don't know.
Right.
But that was just one example. But it continues all the time for all kind of stuff.
And it's not just LSU. It's not just education.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything.
Right.
It's funding allocation for roads and education and, I mean, everything.
Our legislative delegation has to fight tooth and nail to get our fair share, which we don't get. It's quite obvious we don't get.
And thanks to Thomas for stepping up and trying to fight for this.
And he went before the LSU Board of Supervisors. Imagine 24-hour notice you get.
And see, that's kind of hinky, too.
That's shady, man.
When he
that's
started
shady.
Listing all the people that had no idea
right.
that this even happened.
And I wonder if it goes all the way to the governor. Because, I mean, he's changed some of the Board of Supervisors, and I get that. He wants his people in charge. But I wonder if he, you know, if they said, hey, we're going to do this. What do you think? I wonder if he is okay with that. Because it really doesn't look good for this part of the state. It really doesn't.
No.
It's not. It's almost like thumping us in the head going, y'all will be all right. Y'all will be all right. We'll take credit for all your research. Thanks.
Well,
good job up there.
When I first heard about it last week, I thought, remember how they were trying to go, we may be losing LSU Health.
Baton Rouge has always wanted it. I mean,
right.
they have always wanted
right.
it.
Right.
Is this just a step in that direction?
That's what I'm wondering.
There's no medical school in Baton Rouge. Should there be? Should they steal ours? I mean, that's what people have said over, and Cedric Glover could do an hour on that, how Baton Rouge has wanted this medical center and a med school for down there. And he fought tooth and nail, too. We hope we're not headed in that direction, and this is just the first drop in the bucket. I hope not.
But if you step back and look, that's like, okay, that
right.
makes sense. That's what they're doing.
And you've been trying to recruit a new chancellor for here. Well, guess what? It's not a chancellor anymore. Sorry, dude.
Right.
You're a vice chancellor now.
And
you're going to report to this guy in Baton Rouge.
Incredible impact to our economy. Our local Whoa. Economy in Shreveport, that this, what did he say?
$2.99 billion, almost $3
billion. $3 billion annually to our economy.
10% of our economy.
It would be, in his words, devastating.
Oh, it would be this town would, oh, man, I can't even imagine.
No.
I can't even imagine. Oh, boy. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we're going to talk about the tragic death of Rob Reiner and his longtime wife, Michelle, in a horrific murder. I mean,
look. Oh, that is a shame.
Take a look back at his career.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Woke up to tragic news. Well, just a tragic, really sad story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, I didn't like his politics, but this shouldn't happen to anybody.
Oh, and he's responsible for some of the greatest movies of all time.
Rob Reiner was, and his wife mm-hmm. were found dead in their home over the weekend yesterday, and we got to looking at his work as far as directing films,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible, and we'll go over a little bit of that. Just put politics aside, and let's look at mm-hmm. and look at some of his work, and you might be surprised.
Yeah.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I started looking at some of the films of Rob Reiner that he's directed,
mm-hmm.
and just in every year. In fact, this is our New Year's Eve movie that my wife and I watch every year.
Can a man say a woman is attractive without it being a come on? All right. Let's just say, just for the sake of argument, that it was a come on. What do you want me to do about it? I take it back, okay?
You can't take it back.
Why not?
Because it's already out there.
Oh, geez, what are we supposed to do? Call the cops? It's already out there.
Just let it lie. Okay?
Great, let it lie. That's my policy. That's what I always say. Let it lie. Want to spend the night in a motel? See what I did? I didn't let it lie.
It's just the best.
The funny story is that he met his wife, Michelle, on that movie. And she encouraged him to change the ending so that they ended together.
Really?
They ended up together, yeah.
It's also a funny story. Billy Crystal wasn't the original choice for that role. Rob Reiner, I don't remember who he was looking for, and Billy Crystal was like, hey.
Yeah. Over here.
Yeah. Great, and had to fight. And one of the classic scenes, Ruben, this goes to 11.
This is a top to, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see, the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up,
yeah.
All the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
That's from Spinal Tap, right?
The original Spinal Tap.
Oh, wow.
And what's really strange is the second one is now on HBO Max or something.
I still haven't seen it, yeah.
I hadn't seen it, and I watched it over the weekend. My wife was out of town, so I was it's not
the same.
The first one, but it's still good. They're in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
And they filmed most of the movie in New Orleans.
I did not know that.
So that was kind of fun.
Wow.
And it was about them kind of getting back together, doing a reunion tour, and Rob Reiner was in it.
Oh, my.
Reprising his role as the Marty DeBerg, the film producer, director of This Is Spinal Tap.
A cult classic movie.
I mean, the whole reason Rob was so funny is because of his dad, Carl Reiner, who came up on Sid Caesar's show along with Mel Brooks, his best friend.
Yes.
Right?
So he had no choice but to be one of the funniest human beings on earth.
Right. Absolutely.
And another one, this is another one that we watch. Yeah, that's a good one that we watch every single year. And it's just...
When's the last time you were out there?
Jimmy Carter, 1978.
Things are a little different now. First, you have to be friends. You have to like each other. Then your neck. This could go on for years. Then you have tests, and then you get to do it with a condom. The good news is you split the check.
I don't think I could let a woman pay for dinner.
Great. They'll throw a parade in your honor. You'll be man of the year in Seattle Magazine. Tiramisu.
What is tiramisu?
You'll find out.
What is it?
You'll see.
Some woman is going to want me to do it to her, and I'm not going to know what it is.
You'll love it.
Oh, this is going to be tough. Tough. This is going to be much tougher than I thought it was going to be.
How about that decorator on the Bennett job?
Victoria?
Yeah, she's pert.
Oh, I don't know. I'm far away from that. I'm just assembling notes. I'm not going
to...
How would I do that?
What do you mean, how do you do it? You call her up. You say, come on, let's get together. We'll look at swatches.
Call her on the phone. Say, come, let's look at swatches.
Yeah, color schemes.
You're not going to see right through that.
You recognize it now.
Yes. Sleepless in Seattle?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Man.
Some of the greatest romantic comedies.
Oh, he's done so many great movies. And, of course, we remember him from All in the Family.
Oh, right.
He was Meathead.
Meathead.
Him and Archie were some of the best television you will ever see.
I should have pulled this scene. If I could have found this scene from All in the Family, they're sitting there and it's freezing or whatever, and they're getting dressed. And Meathead is putting on his sock, and then he puts on a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
Then he puts on the other sock, and Archie's like, "Whoa, what are you doing?" You know. So you got to put your socks on first, then your shoes.
Oh.
What? You put your socks on first, then your shoes.
Oh, and they get into this over how to put on your shoes.
On how to put on your shoes and socks.
There were scenes in that show that, I mean, yes, there were lots of things that were offensive in the show, but back in the day, it didn't matter. We didn't see it like that. And it was just funny.
But Aaron, that was the point of it being offensive as to how asinine it was.
Yes.
The joke was Archie was an ignoramus.
Right, exactly.
Joke. Right.
And Edith was a dingbat. I mean, seriously. And, if you ever visit the Smithsonian, those chairs are in the freaking Smithsonian.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because when we went to California on our honeymoon, as a matter of fact, and took the Universal Studios tour and went on to the All in the Family set. It was still up. It was still in production.
Wow.
And they said, now we have to be honest, these aren't the original chairs. This is on the set.
Yes.
They said, we sent the original chairs to the Smithsonian, and then when the show got picked up for another year, we said, we'd like these back, and the Smithsonian said, no, you can't have them.
You donated them, dude. They're gone.
And then this is probably one of the most famous quote scenes of all time.
My name is Diego Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die. Diego Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
Stop saying that! Hello! My name is Diego Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die!
No! Offer me money.
Yes.
Power to promise me that.
All that I have and more. Please.
Offer me everything I ask for.
Anything you want.
I want my father back.
Ugh, chill bumps every time.
Oh my gosh, yes. Princess Bride.
Oh, yes. Oh my, oh man.
Oh, like, I saw the wheels spinning over there.
I know. It's funny. You don't have to tell any guy what film that is.
Yeah. It's so good.
You're right. That absolutely is incredible.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
You're saying truancy rates in Caddo Parish are shockingly high.
Some schools, the numbers are way up there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's get a hold of Keith Burton, Caddo Parish School Superintendent, and find out what's the story.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that after the news, top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Last week, I had gone over to have lunch with a buddy over in Bossier, and it was pretty east Bossier.
Mm-hmm.
And I was coming back, and I got on the I-20.
Okay.
And was coming back from Industrial.
All right.
And Aaron, all the entrance and exit ramps are now back open.
Ooh, good.
And they had a huge truck and crane, and they were lifting those concrete barriers that separates it and makes it one lane.
Okay.
Off the interstate and putting them on a trailer.
Ooh, nice.
So they were removing those concrete barriers.
I still couldn't get on from Benton Road. I was coming from North Benton Road, coming down Benton Road to go east on I-20. And you still can't get on there. You have to take the loop to get onto Barksdale Boulevard and go that way. But the rest of them were open, it looked like.
Airlines back open.
Cool.
Industrial's open. Old Minden Road is open.
Nice.
So.
That's awesome. Yeah. They're getting darn close.
So they've got to be getting close.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
So it is exciting. I mean, I'd have never thunk I'd be so excited about a highway opening back up.
Yes. They did a whole highway.
And I don't even drive it every day. Right. I can't imagine how the people feel that are on it every day.
Well, let me just tell you, they've done a whole interstate highway faster than they've done a half a mile stretch of Knight Street. But don't get me started. I'm going on 2 years now.
Has it? No. No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It is not 2 years. Not since they like.
It's a year and a half or so, something like that.
Still, are you kidding me?
I know. It's not a mile. That's not a mile. It's been a clown circus over there. It really has. And I know they'll say, that's what you get when you have to take the lowest bidder. I don't even know what company's doing it. But, yeah, it's a mess. But it's getting done. It's getting done. They're slowly but surely getting close.
Do they have a projection? I mean, are they...
You can't believe anything. You can't believe anything. I just know it's just a mess over there. And now I can't go north on Knight Street from my house. I have to go south toward Preston and make the loop around and, you know, whatever. I cheated today. I went north because it's 3:30 in the morning. There's nobody coming.
Right.
So I cheated for about, you know.
There's nobody coming. Until there is.
And then I'm going to dart into, you know, TK's or one of those little shops and sit in there until they pass by. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I don't do it during the day.
Oh, these barriers are for everybody.
I know.
Except me. Yeah.
Well, I see people doing it during the day, and I'm like, man, you've lost your mind. You're about to have to pull over quickly.
Is she?
Yeah.
I get you, though.
I know.
It looks like running red lights at 4:30 in the morning because it's
right.
Like, why am I sitting here?
There's nobody around me.
And also, honestly, you feel like a sitting duck sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Like, anybody can run up on you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I do that, too.
Of course, they do me.
It.
They're in for a .45 caliber surprise.
Right, exactly.
I'm just telling you.
Oh, boy.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us coming up right after the news, top of the hour. Truancy rates in Caddo Parish. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and like. FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us. Keith, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing very well. Thank you so much. There's a kind of a disturbing report talking about truancy in Caddo Parish, but when you look at the numbers that you can see this on kielnews.com, it's not just Caddo Parish.
No.
There's Bossier Parish schools involved, but this is a statewide issue. How do we address this?
Yeah, well, we are, first of all. I mean, we actually made this one of our main priorities this school year. And the data that you're seeing is not really, I hate to say it's not really accurate, but when you look at what the true definition of truancy is, where we've got students missing, 10 plus days, we've got students that are becoming chronically absent. We're tracking those across every school and made a real concerted effort this year to address that. And just about, I mean, when I look at, and I went and reviewed our most up-to-date numbers, all across Caddo, we're seeing hundreds of more students in school. So I think once that data really shows current numbers, we're seeing a huge difference, not only in Caddo, but surrounding districts and statewide. Everyone from the Louisiana Supreme Court to Dr. Brumley, our local school boards have really made school attendance a priority, and we've had to turn in what our district plans are and have implemented those. And again, when I looked as of this morning, we've got more than 30 schools across our district showing improvement with some really big numbers. I mean, if you look at Huntington High School, I mean, we've reduced the number of kids there by 119.
Because Huntington had more than 1,000 that were considered truant. On this report is from 24 to 25, so it's data that wrapped up in May, obviously.
Yeah, and so what we're looking at is current data. We addressed all of those things. Matter of fact, one of the very first things that we did, if we're going to make it a priority, well, we had to change how we do business. And so we changed our policies. Our board adopted stricter policies around attendance. I shifted staff from central office and our attendance department out to schools that were our highest impact schools. We did a much better job with training our office staff and our teachers around the importance of attendance. And then what we did is we really identified early when a student started missing school, we attacked it. I mean, we had office staff reaching out to families. What's the issue? We tried to be very proactive and really tried to implement a root cause, attack.
What is causing it? What are you hearing that is caught? Yeah. Is it a parent issue or is it a kid who just won't go?
Oh, Aaron, it's so dynamic. I mean, it was, just the other day, I was talking to staff about a specific situation where they had a hearing with a family. And of course, another time we can talk about how we've tried to remove our hearings from juvenile court to internally so that we're not sending kids to court as middle schoolers around truancy. But we had a 35-year-old single mother that had 9 kids.
Oh, God.
And was expecting number 10. Mm. You can't even imagine the challenges that she was having trying to, get her 9 kids to school. I mean, I think there were only 7 that were school age. But, I mean, that's what we're dealing with. I mean, many times it's just the impact of poverty. It is many times parenting skills. But then there's some things that are school-based, too. I mean, they may not be doing well in school. And so, if I just want to avoid failing, I just don't go. Mm-hmm. There are some relationship issues around bullying. We've addressed those. We've talked to our staff about making sure that our school climates are such that students want to go to school. I mean, from the time they get on that bus, they're welcomed, they're talked to. When they walk onto that school campus, they're again acknowledged. You're just building relationships so students want to go to school.
Let me follow up a minute because I asked the state. I asked for clarification from the state. What makes somebody land on this list? And they told me a student is, and I'm quoting, a student is considered truant once he or she received 5 unexcused absences or 5 unexcused tardies in a semester. Do we need to look at that? Because, I mean, I was late to school 5 times probably every semester. And it wasn't flagged like it is today. Do we maybe need to look at that?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it is ensuring that, parents are getting the information to the school so that if absences or tardies are marked as, unexcused, if they have documentation, then we can excuse them. A lot of times it just boils down to communication. I mean, the parent may have the data to show that, hey, Johnny was sick or we had to miss because of a death in the family. It was a legitimate reason. We just don't have the backup. And so I think that's why putting, moving some people into the schools to help the office staff communicate better. We have those people out on duty so that when, mom and Johnny walk up and Johnny's missed 3 days, someone's asking mom, hey, what's going on? We've missed him. What's happening? What can we do to help you? And another thing, I have to throw a shout out to some of our partnerships, because we've got, of course, BYJ, Volunteers for Youth Justice, Volunteers of America, but also one of the things we've done this year is partnered with the Community Renewal, and we've started We Care Schools around many of our elementary, middle, and high schools, and they're pilots. But we've seen a tremendous difference implementing those We Care strategies that have been used to, you know, to really boost neighborhoods. We've taken that model and applied it to schools and seen a tremendous impact. And again, I can't emphasize enough, if you look at current data, it's showing a huge reduction. Matter of fact, we've got, if you look at district-wide right now, comparing this year to last year, we've reduced truancy by 54%.
Wow. I need you to send me that current data, if you don't mind. And has this become a problem since the pandemic? Has that exacerbated it?
Mm. Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, without a doubt. Not only did I think all of the fears that were out regarding COVID, but also, you know, the lost instruction time with people just and students and parents just isolating themselves from schools. Well, that really has.
It fostered a different attitude and way of thinking about attending school.
Yeah, it really has. Well, but let me tell you, one of the things that we did is we went back and addressed our policies and procedures so that we were upping the game with attendance. Before, a parent could write unlimited number of excuses for their child. And what we had was, unfortunately, we had many families abusing that. Mm. And so what we've done now is limited that to 3 days or three absences. If you have, if Johnny's sick, that parent can write a note and we'll excuse that. But if it goes past 3 days, then we are requiring there to be a doctor's note. And of course, if our attendance clerk or principal's talking to the family and they know the situation, then they can excuse those. But yeah, you're right. There was just a really lax feeling about attendance and schools.
Keith, can you hold on with us? We take a quick break. I want to talk to you. I want to change gears, if we could, and talk about cell phones in schools.
Absolutely.
Keith Burton, Caterpillar School Superintendent, Micah McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Talking with Caterpillar School Superintendent Keith Burton. Keith, and forgive me for kind of dropping this on you, but I want to switch gears just a little bit. I think one of the best decisions that not only Caddo Parish School Board, but school boards across the country have made is removing cell phones from classrooms. Have you been able to see data yet on the positive influence that this decision has made?
Yeah, I think, can't thank the legislature and the governor enough for making this now a state law. I mean, I think it was signed in 2024, and it has made an incredible difference. Mm-hmm. When you look at attendance numbers, I think that has to have something to do with it. But really where we're seeing the difference is around student behavior, discipline numbers. Students are more engaged in classroom, and so, we're seeing academic engagement because that's increased. It's really helped academic growth, and of course, we were very proud to have the growth once again in our schools based on the 2025 test scores. So, yeah, without a doubt, I mean, teachers, that was the number one complaint when I sat down with teachers and said, what can we do? All of them said, we've got to do something around student cell phones. So for the state to take on that, that's really helped with instruction behavior and really just the overall school culture.
I know every teacher that we talked to just absolutely loved the decision. Aaron's got friends that are teachers, mm-hmm. and they said it's the best decision that we've ever done.
Yeah, and I think not only teachers and principals, but students would tell you the same thing too. When they're forced to put those things up, they actually engage more with their peers. They're more engaged with the teacher and their lessons. They're not being pulled down by, you know, and we all know the research around the intentionality of drawing those kids into all of the apps and all the, you know, algorithms that draw them in. But it's really made a happier student. I mean, their, you know, morale is better. They are having conversations during lunch and in the hallways and transition times, which is going to lead to better social skills and just being a healthier student. So I think definitely it's one of the best things that we've done to impact education.
All right, have y'all confiscated many phones? I know some of the kids try to get around the rules. Do y'all pick up the phones if it happens? And how big a problem is that?
Yeah, you know, we were ready when that first opened for this to be a huge problem. And, of course, we still pick up some, but it is not nearly what we thought it was going to be. The students know, and we, you know, we took a pretty hard stance on it from day one, so they know that they, you know, we, if it's out during instructional time, we take it. Parents can come get it in the afternoon. And just causing, I think, or creating that sense of this is important, this is now state law, it's going to be enforced, really calls students to put them up. And so it's not been a problem at all.
And it's had to have made a huge impact on bullying, which was a huge and I'm sure continues to be a huge problem.
Yeah, you know, schools are always a mirror of society, and knowing that many times those students were on those phones 10 plus hours a day. The impact on bullying and not only improper use of photos, and we know what AI can do with photos. I mean, there's all sorts. Matter of fact, just recently in South Louisiana, you know, there was the huge case regarding improper, you know,
yes,
photographs, right, used or manipulated of a student and what that caused. So, I mean, just being able to reduce that type of behavior across the board it's just been so positive for our district.
Keith, thank you so much. We appreciate your time this morning. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. And thank you again for reaching out.
You bet.
We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Keith Burton, Calipari School Superintendent Micah McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
We spoke with State Senator Thomas Presley about the big changes going on at LSU Health. And hear what he's got to say. He's not happy.
Mm-mm. No.
Rightfully so.
I agree. I'm
grateful that we've got one of our legislators standing up and fighting for North Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Hear what he has to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Last week, LSU announced major administration changes going on at LSU Health, which affects Shreveport as well. State Senator Thomas Presley, not happy with those changes. He joins us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Thank you for jumping on with this. First of all, what these changes are and what they mean for Shreveport?
Yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity to share a little bit about this. Basically, what's happened is LSU as a system has brought in a new president and a new chancellor for the LSU Baton Rouge campus. And oftentimes when new leadership comes, there's a change in policy and certainly a review of the policy and procedures that are in place. And I'm all for that. The challenge here is that they split the position. So the president, all the universities and medical centers, health science centers used to report to the president. Now they have a president that LSU Eunice, LSU Alexandria, LSU Shreveport, and the flagship, LSU Baton Rouge, will be reporting to that individual, President Roos. The Ag Center, as well as the two medical schools and Pennington, have
lost their chancellor position. They now have a senior vice chancellor, and that those leaders will report to the Baton Rouge campus. And I think that you're going to lose autonomy for our health science center as well as the ag centers. And I think that's a no-win situation for our region.
What was the why was the decision made? What was their purpose?
So the purpose generally is to put all of the research institutions under one umbrella. The claim is that the associations that review the level of research that we have in the state should all say that you have to be under the same leadership umbrella. I understand the intent and the goal of capitalizing on the work that's being done throughout the state. But I can promise you that the work being done in Baton Rouge and in New Orleans is different than the work being done in Shreveport. And we are, as we all know, often forgot about when it comes to state issues and state politics. And that's certainly something that concerns me moving forward.
That's my big question. How much does Dr. Roos know about medical research and medical schools? Baton Rouge doesn't have a medical school.
So that's right. And Dr. Roos is the new president. So LSU Health Science Center will be reporting to the new chancellor at LSU. Now, he has a healthcare background and is a pharmacist. So Chancellor Dalton, I think, has some you know, background in healthcare. I think the concern that I have is, look, when you put everybody under the same umbrella, the Baton Rouge campus is going to be the one that is the winner in that. And I want to make sure that LSU Health Science Shreveport gets its due. We get credit for the work that we are doing up here and the incredible work that Dr. Johnston and his team are putting forth over at the Health Science Center. And I want to make sure that we are at the forefront of any new grants that come in, and we continue to be a leader in science and research in this part of the state and in the state as a whole.
State Senator Thomas Presley. Thomas, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, in recent years, there was concern about us even losing LSU Health in our region. Do you think this might be like, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, taking the first step at this now might happen?
You know, my antenna always goes up when things like this are occurring. I don't think that's the initial intent of this. I think the goal is to expand the ability for LSU as a system to be able to get more grants. At least that's what's being told to me, but I certainly always am on guard for our Health Science Center. The Health Science Center brings in with its alumni about $2.99 billion annually to our local economy. That's approximately 10% of our local economy. It would be devastating to the Shreveport-Bossier economy if anything happens to our med school and the Health Science Center as a whole.
Are you concerned that this will cause us to lose our current chancellor? Because essentially that person's being demoted, right?
So we currently have an interim chancellor. Mm-hmm. Actually, his title changed on Thursday during the LSU Board of Supervisors meeting to senior vice chancellor. You know, what my concern is not only for this person, but for the next person that's going to come in at some point, right? Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that we are getting the best and brightest to lead our Health Science Center. And I think that's been the goal of our local leadership, both on the legislative level as well as the community level. And part of the reason that we actually have a law in place that was put in place in 2005 that says a chancellor will lead our region's health science center. That's true for New Orleans and for Shreveport. And I do have concerns that the change at the LSU board level is contrary to the legislative intent and the legislative law.
It sounds like all grants and research, et cetera, will now go through LSU Baton Rouge, which means they'll get credit for all of it.
Well, and I think that's one of the questions and one of the concerns that I have. And part of the issue here is the way that the decision was made. It went on the board's agenda 24 hours prior to the board meeting last Thursday, which that's allowed under state law. Certainly understand that. But my issue is when I called the the Health Science Foundation leadership, they and board members, they had no idea what was going on. When I called members of our local community leadership, they had no idea what was going on. When I called my fellow legislators, they had no idea what was going on. And I think most concerningly, when I called members of the faculty of the Health Science Center, they had no idea of this change and the implications that it could have for our region. My hope and the assurances I was given by Chancellor Dalton as well as President Roos was that this will not have any ability to or any attempt. This is not an attempt to take away the autonomy of the Health Science Center in Shreveport. I just have concerns on that, knowing the history, knowing the continued, stepsister approach that LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport has had over the years. I'm definitely concerned about that aspect of things.
Thomas, is this in any way reversible? I mean, can it be stopped? Would it take legislative action?
Well, I think that's a good question, Mike. There is legislative action, and I think that's one of the questions that I have is this allowed generally? And I think that is something that needs to be run down to see if that's actually the case. And certainly, I want to make sure that the long-term strategic goals of LSU as a system include and ensure that LSU Health Science Center at Shreveport is a top priority for the system.
Senator Thomas Presley, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Uh-huh. We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Seven FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty.
I'm feeling a little bit nervous here.
Nervous?
What is this?
You've been on the radio before.
Yeah, just a few times. 10 days till Christmas.
Aaron, last week I heard somebody on, I don't remember, we're 2 weeks away from Christmas is 2 weeks from today. And I'm like, holy cow.
10 days, Mike.
10 days now.
So you're done with all your shopping?
Yeah, pretty much. My mom said, I was talking to my mom the other day. What? You threw something at me.
I've done nothing. So when you say you're pretty much done, I'm not happy.
Well, my mom, I don't know if I told you this. We were talking about my daughter's coming in from Florida. She's spending the week. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited. My son will be coming over from Kilgore. We're going to have family time. And mm-hmm. my mom goes, this Christmas, my mom just bought a new house. You know, she's 80 years old. She says, I don't need anything.
Right.
I don't want anything. Can we just bake cookies and watch movies and have enjoy each other? And let's not worry about gifts.
Okay.
And I shared that with my kids and my wife, and I said, this is what, honey, and my daughter goes, I cannot love that enough.
Oh, wow.
So excited.
That's so good. So I don't have to worry about getting her a gift and all that.
No, we don't.
Just family time.
Just now we got stuff from the kids, just within our own nucleus of our family.
Right.
We're doing gifts, but nothing major.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we're not focusing on gifts mm-hmm. this year.
We did a drawing, and my family has done this for a long, long time. But with my son's future family, we did kind of a drawing, and you just have to buy one gift. And I picked someone that I don't know him very well at all.
Right.
We've met once and I have no clue.
Right. What do you do?
So I've asked my future daughter-in-law what kind of things, and he's not been very helpful. Let's just put it at that. So I'm going to have to be hunting for some stuff for him.
And it seems so impersonal, but an Amazon gift card.
See, I don't want to do that. I want to get him a gift. But
for me personally, if somebody was like, I don't know, I couldn't love that more.
Yeah.
As far as you have to give me, you know.
But, and of course, they feel the same way, but they don't know me. So sure. Whoever's got my name is like, please let me know what you want. So I did. I sent them a little list of, you know, here's options, anything. So I don't really need anything, but I'm like your mom. If I want something, I go out and buy it, you know. And so I sent them a list. Here's some kind of things that would be cool that I might be buying in the next year or so. So
right.
They were like, oh, that's perfect. So I just haven't lifted a finger to do anything yet. I haven't made my fudge. I haven't made any pralines. I haven't done anything. The nothing. It's time to get started.
I'm telling you, it comes up fast.
It really does.
Stormy Gage Watts is going to join us after the news top of the hour. She was also on that Virginia trip to the data center. We'll see what she thinks. Next, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. .1017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Last week, we spoke with Ursula Bowman, Shreveport City Councilwoman, chair that went to...
Vice chair.
Mm-hmm. Went to Virginia to check out the data centers. Well, Caddo Parish Commissioner and Commission Chairwoman Stormy Gage Watts was also on that trip. Stormy, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us, what were your impressions of the data centers that y'all visited in Virginia?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me this morning. It was a very diverse workforce. It's a pristine establishment. Driving up to the location, you could tell that the area is well kept. They want to be good neighbors. Opportunity for advancement for assistance here in Caddo Parish.
Your phone's breaking up. Can you get on your rooftop for a minute?
You want me back on the rooftop? No, thank you.
Oh, that's better. Right where you are is good.
I'm sure that's the data in the area. You know, a lot of people are not aware that we already have a data center here, right?
Mm-hmm. Downtown,
There is one downtown, a much smaller version.
Right, but they are already here. So would you like for me to start over?
I
broke up.
You're good. You saw and you walked. It was well kept, well taken care of. When you walked into the place, tell us what you saw.
I saw a very diverse workforce. I saw an opportunity for investment in Shreveport, our infrastructure, our education, our criminal justice system. Hearing from the actual company, I saw that they want to be good neighbors. They have programs for community involvement to help us where the differences are with our infrastructure, with our education, and with our law enforcement.
And this is the same company that's proposing to come to Shreveport.
It is very similar. I will say that this will probably be a replica of what we saw there.
How loud was it, Stormy?
It's probably louder on this phone than it was in that center. There was no noise around it. We were actually able to visit an apartment complex in a very nice community that is right next to it. We could not hear anything. We were aware because they showed us a presentation before we actually walked the facility to let us know when the generators would come on when we were outside. So we were standing outside and one of the generators came on and you could see the stack on top of the building, letting off the pressure, and it was not loud at all. We were able to continue our normal conversation. We didn't have to yell. It was very quiet.
Caddo Parish Commission Chairwoman Stormy Gage Watts. I know you've heard from constituents about concerns. What were those concerns and were you satisfied? Were they addressed on your visit to Virginia?
A lot of those concerns were addressed on our visit there. I do understand that citizens are going to continue to have questions about an investment of this size. And I do believe that that is their right. Our goal is to improve the quality of life for all of the citizens in Caddo Parish while maintaining safety as our priority. Our resolution states that the wages will be 150% above the median income that is here. There was no one in that facility that made under $100,000, which would be equitable to what is our request here. With that being said, it is also just the very first step. We have a lot of opportunities that are left for us to make those necessary adjustments.
A lot of people are saying, oh, these data centers, you know, they bring a lot of jobs in the construction phase, but then once they open up, it's only a dozen or dozens of jobs. How many people did you actually see working in the data center?
There were a lot of people because there are a lot of different components to the data center. What I will say that it's a direct feeder to our local community because of the way that the company is set up, the way that they actually do business with the smaller businesses there. Every day they order lunch, right? So they're providing for probably more than 5,000 people around the facility.
What about the concerns about the water use? I mean, the resolution the city council approved allows the city to sell them 7.5 million gallons of water a day. I don't think they're going to use that much. Most data centers are about 3 million gallons a day. But there are concerns in our community that that will cause water pressure issues. You know our water issues. You're familiar with it. You've announced you're running for mayor. That's going to be something you're going to have to take on. What are your concerns with regard to that?
Well, our water system, I would say this. One of the things is that this is an opportunity to improve our water system first. Let me say that. Secondly, I will say that the data shows that Shreveport can handle that water usage. It is capable of handling over 80 million gallons per day, right? And so I think the sweet spot right now is about 20 to 30 million. So you still have way more than enough to handle that request.
Yeah, Brandon Snead addressed that in the MPC meeting that look, this is not going to be a problem at all.
And it won't impact water pressure. You're confident of that.
Right. And the thing is if we want to improve that infrastructure, where are the dollars going to come from? I believe that this is the catalyst to address that issue.
Okay, let's get to the electric rates. Everybody's worried that we're going to pay higher electric rates because of this data center. You've done the research, I'm sure. You've heard the talk. What did you find has happened in Virginia? Did they build an electric power plant? What did they do there?
Right. They do have their own power grids, so it should not affect our electricity rates. I believe that that's a myth and that those issues have been addressed as well.
Do you have, as you talk to us today, Stormy Gage Watts, do you have anything right now that remains unanswered for you or is questionable for you on a data center for Shreveport?
No, I am very confident that this is going to be a game changer for the city of Shreveport, actually for North Louisiana. I was in a meeting last week with a lot of my South Louisiana colleagues who wish that they had the problem that we have today with the data center. So that's good news for North Louisiana.
What do you say to your co-commissioner, Ken Epperson, who represents the district, who does not seem to be in favor of this? I know he's getting a ton of calls. What do you say to him today?
Well, now, I have the opportunity to speak with him by phone or in person if I need to. So I don't have anything publicly to say about, you know, his decision and where he stands on it because I haven't heard anything besides what you've heard in the meetings about it.
Okay. For those who don't know, a data center, we don't know who this is yet. The non-disclosure agreements are under fire by a lot of people saying, why did we do that? When will we know who this is and what it is?
Okay. I would say this. NDAs are very important when economic decisions are being made for economic development. Sometimes in situations, and you know this with SkyWest, the way that happened, That was negotiations that were going on way before we were even aware of it, right? You have to move and be able to pivot in situations like these. It's very important for the company to be able to address those issues once it becomes public information. But you don't want to kill the dream before it even becomes a dream, right? So I believe that you'll be hearing exactly who that company is once they've done their investigation about Shreveport and Caddo Parish as well, right? But once they are ready to move forward with their attorneys, then you will hear very soon, probably within the next few weeks, if everything goes well with the city council and as well as turning over the MPC's decision, if that happens.
That was my next question real quickly. Do you think the MPC's decision might have put any type of hindrance on our negotiations with this company?
I'm not sure, but I do believe that the MPC is a body that represents the city of Shreveport. And as I've heard through their interviews is that they made the decision that they made because they just didn't have enough information about it. I'm not sure why they did not postpone it and just move forward with a no vote, but that was their choice.
December 18th, Thursday, it's on the city council agenda. I am told by folks that if it's not a yes vote, this company's moving on. You're optimistic that the council will pass it.
I really hope so. I would really hate to see yet another project leave Shreveport.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Stormy Gage Watts, thank you so much for joining us.
You're right. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas to you. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You know, we spoke with Senator Presley about this changes at LSU.
Yes.
And I brought up the point. I said, look, it's not going to change the attitude of South Louisiana, especially South Louisiana legislators, about North Louisiana.
Mm-mm.
They don't care.
No.
The bulk of the population is below I-10. Well, there's population here, too.
And they have the votes. That's the problem.
That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. By the way, you can download the Keel app. That's how you contact us. And it said, listening to Senator Presley, it goes to make the argument again that North Louisiana, from just north of the city limits of Baton Rouge northwards to the Arkansas state line, should become a separate state.
Whoa.
Those of us in North Louisiana are not being represented by the rest of the state. I'd like to see the representatives of North Louisiana call for a referendum to create a new state. We could call it the state of North Louisiana.
Or the state of East Texas. They've got South Carolina,
well, they have
North Carolina.
Dakota. There you go. The Dakotas.
Virginia and Virginia. We could be East Louisiana. Yeah. East Texas. Yeah. I don't know. It's a struggle, and I don't know how they do it. Our lawmakers have to go down there and fight and scrape and beg and to get everything they get.
Yeah.
And it should be based on your population, and we should be getting our fair share. And we don't. I mean, I've always often cited the New Orleans Med Center down there gets way more money per bed than we do. And that's been an ongoing problem for years. And they try to explain it. Well, New Orleans is a different city. They have more people that come into that hospital. Yeah, but it should be kind of a here's the price per bed we pay. And that's not how it works. It's not how they explain it to you anyway. They justify it some crazy way. I don't know.
Aaron's got news next. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Best stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
pulled up a clip. If you're just joining us over the weekend, they discovered the bodies of Rob Reiner and his wife in their home that had apparently been stabbed to death. I don't care what you think about somebody's politics. That's just horrible.
Right.
That's a tragic situation. And unfortunately, it sounds like possibly his son.
That's what it sounds like. They're questioning him now, I believe. And, you know, there are some publications who have said that, yeah, he is the prime suspect and will be charged imminently if he hasn't already. I don't know.
But I started looking back, and let's take a quick break. And when we get back, some of the clips, some of the movies that Rob Reiner directed, unbelievable.
Yes,
unbelievable. We'll talk a little bit about that. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Key.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Especially during the holiday, some of our favorite movies that we watch every year ends up being Rob Reiner films.
He's got so many.
And Ruben, bring my computer up, if you will. This is probably another one of the most famous clips of all time.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the Code Red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Oh. Mm. And you know what? The older I get, and let me chase a squirrel, I watch MASH now. And Hawkeye and Trapper, sure. And then later be, you know, oh, they were so rebellious. And yes, now it's, I look at it back and now and go, shut up.
Yeah.
I agree with Colonel Jessup
right. More
than I did in the day.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You want me on that wall. Mm-hmm. You need me on that wall.
Yeah we do.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
I'd rather you just salute and shut up and thank me and go back to your,
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. But that was a Rob Reiner film.
You don't even realize it.
Don't even realize it.
I know.
Especially when he do the, but this goes to 11, Ruben. And then you go back to this.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage. But it's very, very special because if you can see.
Yeah.
The numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board. Oh. 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11.
And the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up, all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
oh, gosh.
Just.
This is Spinal Tap. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah.
That was the original. The second one did come out that, ironically, I just watched this weekend.
Holy cow. It just came
out on like HBO Max or something, and I hadn't seen it yet, so I watched it over the weekend. Wow. And just incredible films. And Sleepless in Seattle.
Yep.
Harry Met Sally. He directed all of those.
That's how he met his wife on the set of When Harry Met Sally. And she convinced him to change the ending of that movie so that they would end up together. And Harry and Sally end up together because of Rob Reiner's wife, Michelle. So there are reports today that, you know, they're questioning one of his sons, Nick, who is being questioned by police. He's had a long history of drug abuse and substance abuse, and he's not been charged yet, but they are apparently have been questioning him. I don't know. We'll find out more today. I'm sure they will do an update later today, but it's just such a sad case. Oh.
Yeah, the one publication that I've seen that seems to be confirming it is People Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying that it was his son, Nick.
I'm looking at that right now, and but again, nobody's been arrested yet. They still have him in, and he's being questioned. And I don't know, has he confessed? Do they have somebody that has told them he's confessed? I don't know yet. But again, it's just, golly.
And Rob Reiner's original choice for Harry Met Sally was not Billy Crystal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He said Albert Brooks. Remember back in the 80s, Albert Brooks was hilarious.
Oh, he was on everything. Yeah.
And either Susan Day.
Okay.
Day or Molly Ringwald.
Oh, wow.
He was concerned that casting Billy Crystal might jeopardize their friendship if the film failed. Billy Crystal was like, hey, hey.
Yeah.
Hello.
Film didn't fail. Not too many of his films have failed, to be quite blunt.
I don't know, but he certainly had enough just incredible, just an incredible body of work.
Huge blockbusters, most of them, big time. Tragedy.
Yeah.
So. He could have retired on the two Stephen King movies he did, Stand By Me and Misery. He could have retired on
Yeah.
That's right. Stand By Me.
You forget Misery, too. Yeah. I forgot about that. What Misery. A great movie. God,
you know, I never saw that.
Oh, it's rough.
I know. Exactly. Exactly.
You need to watch Misery. It's awesome.
It's a great movie, but it gets rough.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. Kathy Bates is incredible.
Right.
Oh, man. Right. Incredible.
I haven't seen it. Oh. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Got a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Now, this is interesting, let me read this. It says, years ago, Shreveport Medical Center was thriving. Jindal came to Shreveport and saw our success. He decided Shreveport should share. He took our money and gave them to New Orleans charity. Look it up.
Oh, that's not good. I don't like hearing that.
I don't know. I was... what uninitiated at the time about Jindal. Apparently he was horrible.
There's lots of things he did with regard to the budget that people will tell you. He raided lots of budget funds just to beef our budget up, and then when he got done is when we had the fiscal cliff where it was like, oh, all this money's gone, what are we going to do now? And then we had real budget problems. Was it mismanagement? Was he trying to, you know, get law? I don't know. I really don't know. I know that there's a lot of people that point to him as causing big fiscal problems for Louisiana. I think we've righted the ship. I mean, the revenue estimating conference came out, the data came out over the weekend, and we have more money than we anticipated. So it's looking a lot better right now, and lawmakers will be able to have some extra dollars to spend when they get in session in the spring. So
interesting.
It does look good. It looks better. Let's just put it that way. And we're supposed to be seeing, you know, more money in our paychecks after the first of the year too, thanks to the big beautiful bill and the tax changes in Louisiana. So watch your check stub on the 15th today.
And is there still discussion of a $2,000 tariff refund?
That's what President Trump is saying, but I'm going to tell you now, that's not going to come until closer to the election in the fall. So just kind of keeping your finger on the pulse of that. I bet that's kind of a election season check we're going to all see. That's kind of the way it happens on both sides. Yeah. It's not just Trump. It's going to be the other side would do the same too. So we shall see. If we get it before the second or third quarter, I'd be very surprised. Very surprised. All be right. Nice to have, though.
Yeah. Well, be nice to have right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You're not going to get it now.
Are they looking at overturning his tariffs?
See, that's the problem. You're gonna have a lot of that's going to be coming. And if they lose control of the House and Senate, then lots of the things he's done will be overturned. Lots of them. And next year's going to be pivotal. Those midterm elections are going to be pivotal. Oh,
to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my heart just skipped a beat a little bit. Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
Oh, man.
And how do you look at the success and go, we're going to stop this?
Well, the problem, Mike, is it's not hugely successful for middle America is still being hurt because the price of things is still high. You can't blame it on Trump.
You've got to give it time. That's He's battling more than 4 years
right.
of devastation to our country. You've got to give it time to work.
And the prices have not come down yet. And gas prices have, that's for sure.
They are coming down, but though. They are coming down.
They are coming down at the grocery store a little bit, but not as much as people want. And that's how they vote. People vote their pocketbook number one.
It's like young
one.
Couples that get married now. They want the same house their parents have.
Yeah, you gotta pace yourself there, baby.
We've worked 40 years to have this house.
Right, exactly.
It takes time.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.